Hello, listeners, and welcome to an episode of Developing Your A Game with me, your host, Beverly. And it's a lovely Thursday morning. And today we have a very special guest who I fondly call Lady Pearl. She's a good friend, both lawyers. I think we met when we were in London, when we were both, I guess, fresh grads from university. she's gone to make a name for herself as an advocate, very strong advocate in the corporate governance and sustainability sector. So I want to give a warm welcome to Pearl Uzokwe. Thank you for coming on the show. Thank you so much.
But for having me here, Maka, what a journey it's been. I'm really excited. I'm glad to be here.
Oh, thank you so much. I've seen all the great things you're doing, and which is why you're on the show, because you're an inspiration to many. I've been following your journey as well, and it's really, really remarkable. I love that you're like a spokeswoman and just doing some really great things. So I think today it's befitting that we talk about leadership, because you are a leader, you're a young leader. And given the times we're in, we're living in these, times of uncertainty with COVID. So it will be great to draw from your experience about, you know, how to lead during difficult times, inspiration that will hopefully help other people, regardless of what sector they work in, or, you know, they may not even be working professionals, whatever sector they are in life, stay-at-home mothers or sports people or whatever, however you find yourself in the community, we all kind of need, you know, to lean on, you know, pillars of strength, and look up to people that can, you know, help with ideas, because nobody's beyond being inspired. So I just want to take things back a little bit. A lot of people know you now for your work, extensive work in corporate governance, but you started off as a lawyer. Now, could you just tell how that journey started? Before you got to where you are now, you know, what were your passions? What inspired you to even go into the legal industry? How did you find it working there? I know we met in London at the time, so you started your career in the UK. How was it? Let's be real, though.
I have to take it way back on this Thursday morning. No, but it's a beautiful thing. There's so many things wrapped up really in that first question, and it makes me think, and I hope you'll permit me to maybe start in a way that might not be completely linear, but it should address some of those questions. And I love that you started off just saying, how do you lead, and how do you lead in the different spheres that you might find yourself? Because it's actually something that I'm pretty passionate about. I think sometimes people expect leadership to be on a nice, shiny pedestal with a nice title. But if I could talk about leadership, I just say that it doesn't need to come with a title. I think that every single person is called to essentially offer some, for me, leadership is service, is to offer your services wherever you may be, wherever that might be required. So you'll have that with the young mom who is perhaps just helping out with the PTA in her children's school. You see something that needs to be corrected. Please don't wait for somebody else to do it. Because what I find a lot of the time is everybody's looking for someone else to correct things that are wrong. Or, for example, we do know very much about what is wrong in society. In Nigeria, we are incredibly good about postulating about what is wrong with society, what we should do to solve it. But I keep asking, who is going to do it? And what's wrong with you doing something about it? So
exactly.
I think it's just something that we basically need to be thinking about, regardless of where you find yourself. No role is too lowly, if that's even a word that is acceptable, because every single job that you do has dignity in it. And I just say to people, just look around you. You work in an office. Yes, you're a graduate trainee, but my goodness, there are things that you can contribute towards. If there's an event happening, can you contribute your services? Can you go the extra mile? Stop waiting for that nice, fancy package title to come that you call, that you have basically decided in your head is leadership. I say, essentially, start with it wherever you find it. And I just wanted to raise that.
I love that.
I think it's important.
Because I think,
there's so much you can do.
Do you think we're obsessed with titles a little bit? Sometimes we get so wrapped up with, oh, I'm a director, I'm a this, I'm
Absolutely.
an MD.
Absolutely. I think the first thing, we love that. We love the several titles to the name. But the honest truth is, you've just got to be an effective leader. I think, first of all, you need to be able to listen and you need to be courageous. And sometimes we expect that courage just means that it's absolutely no fear. But the truth is that sometimes that courage comes with a shaky voice, and you still need to carry on doing it. And you still need to raise your hand up, and you still need to ask those questions that need to be asked. And I've seen that in several spheres. So sorry, I've digressed a little bit from
No, trust me, the best
the
conversations have
first
different branches and move around. The conversation just can't be robotic. So I love that, and I love
question.
your definition of a leader. A leader, from what you've said, has to have emotional intelligence. You need to listen.
Absolutely.
Leadership is not
Absolutely.
about just telling people what to do, ordering
What to
people
do?
around. You
Oh, we
empower
love
people
that.
around you. I love that. I
Yeah.
love that, Pearl. I love that.
I think I think in this part of the world particularly, sometimes it does get missing. And I've found and that this was basically taught, because if you think about it, if you take the corporate setting, for example, by the time most people get to senior management level, when you look at the technical capabilities, most times you've proven that you have what it takes. So to get you to the next level, the emotional intelligence is absolutely critical. You're working in an environment like ours as well, there where there might be political uncertainty. There is uncertainty even in the way that, the policies are created. You need to be able to understand people, listen to people, read the language, understand these little nuances as well that exist, and just essentially ensure that you get people to lead because they want to, because you've captured their hearts, as opposed to, wielding a big stick, which is my own preferred option. Because you can do it in different ways, but I always say that the best sort of governance comes when the people have buy-in from their hearts. They will do it regardless. They're not doing it for fear or for favor. They're doing it because they've got buy-in. And that's usually the hardest, actually, to be able to get. And it takes time and it takes patience. And that listening portion is something that I'm still working on,
Working on,
because
right?
you need to listen, because so many times we think we know, and when you think you miss out on a lot. So
Something I want to
yes.
ask you, if I may. What you said about, the listening piece, good leaders listen. Now, when I flip this around, because it's all from the bottom up, isn't it? We have to keep on nurturing the people underneath so they eventually take up those
Absolutely.
leadership mantles. So
Absolutely.
what could be the trick to getting better employees, or molding better employees, or could it be that we're not looking at employees as future leaders, which is why there's some kind of disconnect sometimes, which is really why I wanted to take you back the journey, because sometimes you see that glimmer of a leader in even in, like you said, like the interns that come, and you're like, wow, there's something about that intern that just makes me, so how do we, I think a lot of employers may want to know, how on earth do we get the best from our employees? This has kind of gone in a different angle, but I love it. I do like it because,
You know what? I will help you. It's actually interesting. It's so funny how these things can end up connecting. But you know what? In answering that question, I'm going to go back to school. So you did ask me, how did I start my career? And you see, this is something that I think you see people do even at your it's whether it's educational level, and then it works there. And when it's replicated again in the workplace, I think it's also effective. And what am I talking about? There is usually, I find, in people, that person who encourages you to basically be the best that you can be. And not everybody is that fortunate. So when you ask me, how did I end up on this path? I do not take for granted at all the fact that, first of all, I guess there was a skill set. I did enjoy the subjects that were more art inclined. And if you grew up when I did in the 80s, there was that inclination, like, oh, you're great at English, consider a career in this. And for me, it just became a case of, oh, what do I think is the most interesting career that I can get out of the subjects that I found a particular affiliation with, and I ended up in this field, which was a law degree. But all along, I was very fortunate, I think, to just find that teacher or that person who spoke to me and just gave me the level additional confidence that I needed to just say, look, you can do this.
Mentorship.
And that's why I'm thinking, yes. And you see, I think sometimes we box mentorship into a particular very formal idea of what it should be, that you've got to have a person who you call a mentor, first of all. Guess what? I actually think that some of the most impactful mentors, if I can use that word, in my life, I've never had a discussion with them where I've said, you're actually my mentor. They've literally maybe spoken a word to me, or it's just somebody that I've built a natural relationship with. And I say this a lot to people. Stop waiting, stop necessarily going to people and saying, I want you to be a mentor. I want to have sessions once a month. Just
That's
invest in
it.
relationships,
Build
build those
relationships.
relationships. And you will get, and then you speak, because when you get their trust, because if you didn't think about it, a lot of the people that you want to have as mentors are quite busy. Now, when you start saying this, sometimes they start thinking, oh my goodness, where am I going to fit in the additional time? But if you just build a natural relationship, and that's where the emotional intelligence comes in, you can pick up a phone and ask that question, and they can connect you to that person that you need to be connected to ensure that whatever it is you're trying to achieve gets achieved.
That is what.
So if there's any advice I have for young people, I'll say, don't make this so legalistic when it comes to mentorship. Just build and invest. Invest. It's not one-sided. Invest in relationships. So if we take it back to my career again, so I had that at a primary school level. I had a fantastic science teacher who was just incredibly good and just encouraged and pushed. I had it at secondary school level. In fact, one of the best was a lady that it shames me to say this, but I can't remember her name anymore. But she was a teacher I had at law school. And I'd reached a point where after the degree, I had an aim in my head. I wanted to achieve this, and I'd achieved it for university level. But when it got to law school, I was almost coasting. I thought, okay, I didn't need to push myself that much. I can get this and I'm okay. But this lady, first of all, was a black barrister, and I was in school in the UK at the point. There weren't that many of them around. So even seeing her taking the classes was inspirational for me. And one day she just stared me straight in the face and was like, I think you need to aim for a first, which was a distinction at the point. I'd never considered it, never pushed myself for it. I tell you, Amaka, that was a defining moment for me. I'm not even sure she re realizes the impact those words had. And that's why I'm very intentional about the words that we speak to people that we work with. You know, some people in offering correction to people literally break you. So I'm just, as we speak and as we lead, in quotes, as we work with people, my goodness, please be really careful about the words that you speak to them, because literally you can change the trajectory of somebody's life for
Completely.
better and for
Oh,
worse.
so
I've
powerful.
been fortunate enough to get those people. So I don't take it for granted at all. You know, so they're leaders that are, and when I say leaders, people in organizations that I've worked with that you will literally take a bullet for, metaphorically, because you're just like, you believe in what they're doing and they earn your trust. So that's another thing. I think to be a great leader, you need to be able to earn people's trust. They need to trust that, for example, if I take your advice, this boss or this leader or this whoever team lead is going to, stand up for me and not leave me hanging if things go wrong, for example, which surely will go wrong as long as they can see that, look, there was some logic in arriving at a decision that was made. I think some of the best leaders that I've worked with have been able to inspire that. It just comes, whether it's their passion comes through, it's genuine. You know, there's a, you feel the person's genuine intentions come through. They build trust, and then they just were able to, yes, be able to bring out the best in people as opposed to
No,
crushing
it makes sense because when I see you from afar, the work you've done, your compassion, your genuine sincerity in the way you convey your messages, no doubt these things are also
Thank you.
internal. But like you said, the people you meet will impact your external, they are kind of like a stimulus. They will create a stimulus effect in you.
Absolutely.
You'll either become more
Absolutely.
compassionate or you know, because you're mimicking. We're
Yes.
all in, we're all kind of mimicking other people. The
Absolutely.
they call it vibe these days. So,
Absolutely.
you know,
Yeah.
you are
Yeah.
building yourself, and when people see
Yes.
this good in you and they feel like I see a champion standing in front of me and I need to nurture, I need to push, then it makes you feel good. And then it's a knock-on effect and you want to do same. And I think that's why society is the way it is, because we just don't have enough positive mentors around about themselves. It's great to be independent. We all crave that. But let's not underestimate the impact of powerful, positive relationships, just like you've explained. You know, I always feel a bit jealous, you know. And I think I might know that black professor you're talking about. Because can I just say, when I did my BVC at it was then called Intercourse, also shocked to see a black barrister. It sounds terrible, but I was like,
it was that exactly, and female, right? It was short, it was rare. They were like dinosaurs. Yeah.
So I you see, it represented
honestly, I owe her. I owe her. I need to go find her. And I, you know, I, because really, and I know sometimes people trivialize it. They just go, oh my goodness, what is all this? It's hogwash. This is just positive affirmation. But I tell you, I firmly believe in intention, in the intentionality of the words that we speak. And sometimes those words are actually silent. So it's, what are you saying to yourself internally?
Mm.
What are you saying to yourself when you wake up? So those things really will affect your mood, affect your productivity. And then you're passing it on. And then you want to be a leader of people. You need to take the time to really think about that. And I think if you think about it, even as people, just think back to, for example, working in a department that had different leadership. So maybe you worked in a particular company and you had a head of department when you started, and then that person moved on and you got somebody else. The head literally determines the mood of the rest of the place. And I've seen some pretty drastic and dramatic changes just from moving the heads of departments. From one day to the other. So that's why I always ask that anybody who's in that sort of position really thinks about the atmosphere and the environment that they're creating by their actions.
Absolutely. Now, how have you found, I know you left the UK eventually, you worked for some prestigious law firms there, like Denton Wild Sapt and the likes, which is very, very impressive. And you came to Nigeria, and I remember very vividly when you mentioned that you were starting at Sahara, and it was, I think, yeah.
Absolutely.
People know the name. And you've really...
I know.
...a long way since you started pivoting internally from legal to corporate governance, and having a voice for not just even corporate governance, just governance, because I see you do a lot to promote green as well.
Yes, sustainability,
which is fantastic. I mean, you're working oil and gas company, so naturally that would make sense. I mean, how have you found how did you find adjusting? Again, that's leadership, because sometimes you have to be in situations that you don't necessarily plan for, or maybe you did plan it. I mean, I'm not sure how
Absolutely.
It'll be good to know how.
Absolutely. No. It's a very good question, actually. And like, I think this basically takes us back again to the beginning. I very much believe in purpose. I believe in purpose and everybody basically having a purpose to their lives. And what do I mean by that? So essentially, I sometimes, when you see people in workplaces and they're not performing, for example, I always say, first of all, before you write the person off, because it's very easy to say, oh, this person is absolutely useless, they're rubbish at their job. My take is usually, this person is in the wrong job. This person is doing the wrong thing for themselves. Because I genuinely believe that every single person who's been put on the face of this earth has a purpose that when discovered, and it doesn't have, it's not singular. I don't even believe that. What I mean by not singular, you can have an overall purpose and then there are different stratas to it, but it's all leading you towards that same purpose. It could be that your purpose in life is to have impact. There's several different ways to do that. But if you're doing things that basically drain you, that do not give you an avenue to basically bring those skills and those talents and that passion to the fore, you will be rubbish at your job. And I see that. And I've seen that, fortunately, in some people who've been lucky enough to get off the track that they were on that wasn't right, and then thankfully find a path that was way more suited. And you can just see the transformation in the person and in the individual.
I can imagine.
in the individual. So for me, when you ask the question of how I transition, I just say, you know, and sometimes people think, oh my goodness, this purpose should come in a nice, tidy box and it will be labeled
Right, it should
purpose
be
and I will know
your
what it
purpose
is.
is.
I'm like, guys, seriously. No. I say, do you know what? I think just do the very best that you can wherever it is you find yourself. Guess what? I think there's incredible value in doing those roles that are not aligned to
True.
your purpose because they will eventually get you to yours. So what I'm saying this because I think part of my experience in the UK was helping me very clearly identify those roles that were not aligned to my purpose. And I needed to do it for my, I think I definitely needed to be able to do that so that I had satisfied myself that, okay, you've ticked that box, but it's actually not doing you any good. So I'll give an example. So you mentioned some of the law firms. So thankfully, I did go to university. I qualified as a solicitor in the UK. And it was a great experience because I learned, you know, with every role, I say just learn as much as you can. But if I give an example, I had in my head an idea of where I wanted to get to legally. And I thought, okay, this is the pinnacle for me. I've got to get into the city. I've got to do this. I've got to do that. And I worked very hard to get to that level. Got to that level. I do not deny the hand of God, a hand of, you know, just faith and things aligning because some people work very hard
And
and
it
it
doesn't
doesn't
happen.
happen. Well, having arrived, absolutely, I haven't arrived at that point. I then realized that, oh my goodness, this is an incredibly well-paying job, but it does nothing for my soul. Like it literally
And
was soul destroying for
that
me.
takes guts because you said, you know what? I'm
It
giving
was
money.
absolutely. I think, in fact, sometimes God helped. So I'm not even sure I had the gut. I think I had reached a point where God gave me a helping hand. And I think it's also, this is something that we've spoken about in the past, but I think sometimes with this, when you get to certain levels, people expect that you've had a wonderful linear trajectory where everything went well. Absolutely not. The growth and the learning and the alignment with my purpose came from something that seemed like a disaster because at the end of this career, at the end of getting to the city, the 2008 recession happened and I got made redundant. I had a last in, first out approach. And it was literally felt devastating at the point. I thought, oh my goodness, what am I going to do? But I have no doubt, looking back on it, that it was all in alignment with
Part of
my
the plan.
purpose. Because if I didn't have that, absolutely, I would have stayed exactly where I was and been more comfortable. So everything just lined up. You know, at that point, I then got married. I had a partner who was very passionate about going back to Africa and going back to our home country, coming back to Nigeria. I was also inclined that way, but I needed that push. And that was the push that I needed because I was like, okay, I have nothing else to do now. I need this is it. This is the opportunity. And thankfully, we took it. It was incredibly scary. So, this is where coming back and now deciding we're not going to look back. We're just going to come in here and give it a go. And like you said, you come in, you come from multinational organizations to one that is showing a lot of promise, but is still fairly new. And that was a chance that we took as well. As well, we're saying we wanted to support indigenous organizations, which thankfully have then grown in leaps and bounds. And it's always a risk. You never can be 100% certain, but it was a case of I'm here and I'm going to give it the best that I can. So it wasn't waiting till you got to a particular role. And that's one thing that I've always been passionate about. If you're there and there are other ways that you can lend your voice, if you're there and you see things going wrong,
Speak
speak
up.
up.
This is the thing.
Say
This is why.
something because it's so easy to complain. That's like the easiest thing. So I'm usually that person. I'm not saying it's easy all the time. There's no doubt about it. Sometimes you try and of course you get shut down. But the truth is, I just think you need to keep trying because the alternative I keep asking, who is this Mr. or Mrs. Nobody who's going to do it? We do this a lot. We're like, oh, someone should sort this out. This is it. I'm like, who is that
This
person?
mysterious person.
Who's that person? So,
I mean,
yes, it's often meant a bit more work than your strict job description, but thankfully, over time, I think people can sense it when you're genuine about things
and
and you
that's the
care.
point where you get that satisfaction, isn't it? Just going beyond, you know, like you said,
Absolutely.
it's out of your job
Absolutely.
description, but that's what makes it worthwhile. Otherwise,
Yes.
Sam, it's interesting you say speaking up. Speaking up is a very big part of putting, how we put certain behaviors that are undesirable in check, how we look at for in the workplace or in our personal life, whatever. And you know, you would have seen things like all this Me Too movement and now Black Lives Matter.
Absolutely.
There's so many issues that
and
it goes way beyond those two. There's so many, and it feels like maybe now we will begin to all start to work as a collective. Maybe that's idealistic thinking, but that sense of I'm looking out for you, and you don't need to be a leader to do that, but it's the sign of leadership. No. Though looking out for people, just like
And even just a great bit, Beverly, when you say you don't need to be a leader, what is a leader? The person who's serving. You are a leader. You don't need to have the title that the world perhaps is looking out for when you traditionally say leader. But if you're doing those things, you are a leader.
That is true.
With or without the title, you're a leader.
That is true.
You see people who go out of their way, literally, to change things, to speak up in their community. They will get no recognition. They are leaders to me. Absolutely. Absolutely. Look at our medical professionals who've done so much as well in the last few weeks. People who, the people who are really going out of their way to ensure that people are okay.
Those are the people.
Genuine
that
leadership takes a lot of
support. You remember just how important that section of society is. Yes. So you were saying about leadership, the people, like the health workers, the professionals, rights too.
Yes. They absolutely have a job to do, and they are. If there's a selflessness about it, you know, you see the doctors who are mothers, who I was watching the other day, whether it's in Spain, and you see them every day getting up and making that decision that, look, I could decide that I'm just going to cop out, or I'm going to keep going, do the very best that I can. It's an incredibly difficult job. I'm having to the sacrifices that they're sacrificing, some of their family time and family life. I've seen doctors who've basically had to put their children in a separate home because they can't come back and risk the spread of this virus. That takes courage. That takes courage. You don't need a fancy title.
You don't. I'm kind of glad that the world is beginning to pay its respects to these very essential workers. You know, these years we just kind of designate corporate leaders as the main leaders, president.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's not right, and it needs to be corrected. And I hope that's one of the things that we will correct as a world as we come out of this pandemic. I know you definitely will relate to this, Beverly, but look at what has happened with homeschooling. How much appreciation for how much more appreciation.
Teachers, honestly, shout out to all the teachers. I don't know how
that is a difficult job. It's a difficult job. I mean, for a lot of people with all the money in the world, they are terrible. Doesn't matter how much time. How many titles they have in the workplace, they come home, I give them homeschooling, and they are
honestly
a
mess. I tell you look at this whole online schooling thing. No, I appreciate those teachers like anything. I tell I appreciate you guys are like second parents to my kids, because
they're
you
heroes.
Can't do it alone. So society needs different people. It needs all of them together,
different people. Absolutely. I we've done them a great injustice, actually. I think. Yes.
I really think so too. I mean, what are you passionate about now? What kind of initiatives are you looking at now? Beyond the career place, beyond the workplace, what is Pearl looking to do in terms of sharing advice? I know you always share I love your for the world travel footage that you share with us when you're meeting leaders, sharing the thought. You know, there's a lot of thought leadership behind what you're doing.
Thank you.
Now, what, I mean, 2020 has kind of thrown us off, but you know, the year is not over. We can still get some things ticked on the checked off.
Absolutely.
What kind of things are you still looking to do this year? How do you want to use your voice, or
Absolutely. You see, I love that you're saying that. Yeah, because I mean, what drives me right now, and I know we've spoken about this, but I say, so when I talk about purpose, I really don't think it's a linear. I've accepted, especially, I'm like, I've known you for a long time, and we joke about this. You are multi-talented, you an incredible source of information, a great interconnector, and I've just accepted that. You know, women, men, we are phenomenal beings, and it doesn't have to be linear in terms of your purpose in this life. So, if I was to try and define what really drives me right now, it's basically having a positive impact on people's lives. So, the beauty of what I'm doing at work is that it allows me being in charge of sustainability, which really, and I know it's a word that people always think, what does this mean? It really just means continuity for me. That's the simplest way of putting it. So, for any organization that wants to remain in business for centuries or decades, you've got to take sustainability seriously. And it's divided into three main strata. So when you mention the environment is one of it. The social, I'm incredibly passionate about, and governance as well. So there's governance internally, externally. How does the company run itself? What are you doing to ensure that those processes are in place that will stand the test of time? Externally, what engagements can you have to ensure that the society that we live in is also sustained? And there's so much work, as we can be seen, to be done, not just here in Nigeria. We've seen what's happening the world over, particularly now in countries that we previously would have looked at as being far more advanced and so you see that this is not something that is governance is not static. You have to ensure that you're constantly reviewing, ensuring that you are, in essence, auditing yourself to ensure to remain relevant and to remain effective. So what am I passionate about is ensuring that we as an organization and Pearl as an individual also has a positive impact on people. So I'm incredibly grateful and passionate to have a role that allows me to do this. So within Sahara, what we've decided is that we're going to go beyond CSR initiatives that are drops in the ocean. So with any initiative that we do, it's just there's a sustainability angle to it that gives me or the team and the organization a lot of fulfillment. The way we look at it is to say, look, whatever intervention we get involved in, we don't, this is not an ego trip. This is not about us. It's about you and your initiative, your society. How can this make your community better? We do not want to be involved in perpetuity. So a lot of those initiatives, the thought process, the needs assessment that goes on before that, the social impact assessment, is very much focused on ensuring that it can run on its own, independent of us at a certain point. So we're just helping with midwifing these initiatives, and I'm hoping that you build one that you're commercially viable in a lot of those circumstances, and you can run on your own.
Honestly,
So we've got several of those
I
going on.
love the way you've put it so eloquently, what governance and sustainability is. I always thought sustainability was just with regards to the environment. When you described how it's beyond that, it's about how you continue the
It's true.
continuum. And
Yeah.
sustainability is
Continuity.
something that we should all be doing. There
All
should
the
be sustainability
absolutely. So it should be, yes.
in all companies,
Every organization.
cities,
To be honest, I mean, yes. To be honest, I think it's just, even if it's not defined, there is that you will find elements of it in different places. But to be intentional and to be
It
effective
should
at
still
it,
be done,
you
even if it's not
absolutely need
defined.
to be defined. Yes, it will still be done. It's just that it may not be as effective. We see there's nothing like defining it. And that's why organizations that are forward thinking decide we're going to have this created as a separate unit. We're going to identify what we're
Oh,
aiming for.
have I lost
Because
her?
how can you achieve?
Have
Hello?
I lost her?
Hello? 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 Hello?
It.
Hello? 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 These are the questions you have to ask when you go to the social. I always say social people, how are you relating to the people? So the various stakeholders as an organization. And that's why sometimes literally I wake up and I have so much interface with different departments within the group because there's a H. I say before you look at the society at large and how an organization relates with the society at large, you need to be looking at the people. your employees as well. Like, it's
your
a charity
assets.
begins at home, right? So you'll see that I'm very passionate
Exactly.
about various matters to do with people. So whether it's one, and it varies from day to day, whether it's ensuring that we push and advocate for nursing corners for new moms in the office. That's something that, to be honest, I was doing even before I was in this role, just because I was a mother myself. And it's one of those things that, unfortunately, until you're in that position, you don't realize what has happened. But it's looking back again, it's an example of things that I keep saying to people. Don't wait until you're in a particular role or you've been given that as a duty to start speaking about things that you
It's
know can be
empathy,
improved. Yeah, that can
exactly.
be improved on. So you look back and you're grateful to be able to pinpoint and see improvement, just because it's not because these organizations don't care. Not far from it. Sometimes they can't understand what they haven't experienced themselves sometimes. Because if you look at
So
it,
true.
until you
So
have
true.
people who are maybe at a senior level who have had difficulties or issues with nursing in the office, sometimes those issues are just not brought to the fore. So if you're a female who's gone through this and had challenges, speak up and
Speak
ask,
up.
what's the worst
Speak
that
up.
can happen? You know? So you might just
Exactly.
get it. That's an example of, for me, a sustainable. What are you doing? You're trying to ensure that you retain the workforce. So I'm very, very passionate about gender equality matters. Basically, ensure that I'm part of the group, the inaugural group that set up International Women's Day event. And also, we started an International Men's Day event because
Oh,
it's
wow.
important
Good one.
that, yes. Now, that was an interesting challenge. So, just picture this, me basically leading the discussions, all men, on International Men's Day.
Oh my goodness.
The jokes
But
are
guess what?
constant,
We've had people, men, leading discussions around policies that affect women. So,
No, it's
hey.
absolutely critical. No, we actually, so this year at our event, I was very intentional about saying we have to get the other half of the world in the room to ensure
Yeah.
that we're hearing from their perspective as well, because we don't live in a world that is run by just women. So
Of
it's really
course, of course.
important that you get buy-in, that this is not a battle, this is not a war. We need to be doing this together to ensure that we get to the finish line, and the
Of
gap is
course.
just too wide. So that
Of
buy-in
course.
is necessary.
So
Yeah, so
you
it's
said.
incredible. Me, I find it incredibly interesting. So it's environment, yeah, the society and governance,
No,
and
honestly, what you do,
it's
like, even
constantly
I'm like,
evolving.
wow, there's so much more to it than meets the eye. Really,
Yeah.
really, it's been so intriguing. Like, you're literally, I mean, governance has not been around as a major career
No.
path. I don't think it's even been up to 10 years. So, I mean, I hope that there'll be people listening in that can
Yeah.
relate. Maybe people looking for, you know what? I think I want to try something different. I love the corporate world, but I want to do something that's more, that has more people at the center. Sustainability
Right,
and
right.
governance is a great place because
Thank
it
you.
seems to be a place where, you know, whether you're a
There's a
lawyer,
lot of heart.
accountant,
There's
you know, it's, no, it's great. You're a champion for
lot
that
of heart.
industry, I tell you, because most people think, oh, governance, oh, it sounds boring, but you've given it life. It's about so many things. It's dynamic. It's not
It
static, like you said. It's not static. No,
is.
it's
And we owe it to ourselves. And I have to give a lot of credit to those who started this before, way before I was even speaking about it. You think about people like Ndidi Nwuneli, who started off Leap
She's
Africa,
amazing.
if you've heard about it. And for her, the mindset and raising leaders was something that she remains extremely passionate about. Their foundations, whether it's the Ford Foundation and several others who have put governance at the forefront. But you know, it's one of those things that I keep saying with governance, see, beyond your organization, it starts with you. How do you run? What is governance? It's how you run your home, how you run yourself. First of all, self-mastery. What are those things you do to ensure that you get the best? How does Pearl get the best out of Pearl? You know,
How
so
does
I
Pearl
think
bring
these are
her A
questions you need to be.
game, right?
Yes. How do you bring your A game? And you know, it starts with you before you even step foot into an office, before you then get into governing the office and the organization more like it. How do
And
you
that's
ensure that
integrity,
the
isn't it? Because what you said now
It
about
is.
how do you govern yourself, we're not saying be perfect,
No.
but how you govern
No.
yourself can be telling on how you govern others, can be quite telling.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Seriously?
And it evolves. It evolves as well. And that's one thing I'm starting to realize. So you're learning so much, with different roles. When I talk about governing myself, I laugh about it because when you say bringing your A game, and this is something that I'm grateful to have basically picked up on from people also speaking to me about it. But with a role like this that has involved lots of meeting with stakeholders, it's not a static role. I've had to do a lot of moving around. And you were saying, talking about the traveling. So what have I had to do even to ensure that I'm effective when I do these things? And as an individual, I've actually had to look quite carefully at how I start the day. How I start
Yes,
the
routine.
day. Because that pretty much, especially for people who live in a town like Lagos, I keep saying that Lagos is incredibly noisy. Now, okay, this is interesting. So let's go back to one of the questions you asked me at the start, which is how have I found this transition? And I remember moving back. I don't know if you felt this, because this has been a while now, but I just remember thinking this is a very noisy country. I just felt like everything went up several decibels. And it's so funny now because I'm part of the noisemakers when I think, because I'm just like, what? I remember going into the office and just thinking, why is everybody shouting? Why is everyone speaking so loudly?
We're noisy.
Why?
We're full of life.
Why?
Let's positive
There
spin.
is so much life, I tell you,
So
that
much
you will
life.
not be short of life, I can assure you, in this environment. Howsoever, to ensure that you're not just expending energy,
Right.
you have to draw inward. And that's something that a lot of us are not. If you're not deliberate and intentional about it, you will miss it. Because I joke about this. So sometimes I have a my driver always end is very is a very energetic and full of life guy. So sometimes he goes into the car and the first thing you'll hear in the morning is loud
Loud
music
music.
from the radio. And I always say to him, I cannot for the life of me understand how can you start your day
With
with
such
this level
loud
of noise? Like, when are you
music.
thinking? So
Perhaps intentionality should be taught. Maybe it's not as intuitive as we think it should be. Because to be honest, I didn't always have a routine either. Just jump out and whatever, after the
Get going.
basics.
I
Yeah.
understand.
But I
It's
have
no, but that's
learned
the truth. Like Lagos, if you don't stop, it will push you. So it's one of those towns because you know that you've got to get moving. Look at the commute. Everyone knows you have to get on. If you're coming from the third mainland to get to the island, you have to, it will push you. So you have to literally self-regulate. And that's where the governance of self starts. So what are you going to do, for example? If you know that the second you wake up, you're going to have to get moving, maybe you then get yourself up several minutes earlier than everybody else in your house to ensure that you get those moments to yourself.
Yeah,
If you don't
self-care.
grab it forcefully, you will be literally, it's like a whirlpool. It will suck you. Lagos will suck you in. So
Wow.
it's a battle. I'm just like,
The
stop.
vortex.
We need, and you're not going to be, let I tell you. So it's that there's a fortification. So you need to take the time. I give an example that in the last year and a half, I've learned the difference between prayer and meditation.
Yes. Oh my goodness.
There's
That's
a
like
difference.
even another podcast session I need to do. Prayer and meditation, two different things. And I know we're slightly suspicious of, I had a podcast with
No,
Obi
so
about
you need.
meditation. You know, we're a bit suspicious of that
I
here
mean,
too.
people think, oh, what is this? No.
But
Yeah.
yeah, it's so important. Two very distinct things, but they merge a little bit though. A little bit. They
Two.
merge a bit.
They do. No, so for me, what I will do is I do spiritual meditation. But see, what it just requires is you have to get really quiet.
Quiet and
You've got to
focused.
get really quiet. So, and that for me is the biggest distinction. So with your prayer life, for example, it can be quite noisy. There's a lot of talking. But when you meditate, you have to go inwards. And that's something that, in fact, sometimes people find they're actually uncomfortable with it if you have to do it, because you're going to have to ask, you have to start asking yourself questions. You have to answer those questions.
Very true.
And it forces reflection. So that's pushed me. Initially, I found it a little bit awkward because when you're someone who likes to talk and you like to interact with people, it takes a lot to actually be
Oh,
still.
it does. It does. It does. We're not, we don't have
And
the
it's a
time to
lot
be
easier
still.
to just distract yourself. Yes, it's a lot easier to distract yourself. So that's something that, again, I've just found, yes, with self-governing has been incredibly helpful. And why do I say it? Because you do that, it just helps you. Because when you get, as you rise in organizations, the demands on you as a person will just
Increase.
continue to increase. So sometimes before you've even stepped foot into the office, the demands have started. So you need to ensure that your tank is full. If not, you have nothing to give. You will be depleted, that I can assure you. So what are you doing to ensure that you take care of yourself? And then, of course, comes the physical side of it. So everyone's going to be different, but you need to work out what is it that's going to help you or you or you just, you know, bring your best self, or at least try very hard to get yourself on that. You're going, people, nobody's perfect. You're going to have those days where it absolutely does not work, but at least have an aim so you know what you're working towards. So for me, physical fitness has had to change. Health, vitamins, my friends laugh. I keep laughing. I'm like, you know, the old lady. I don't mean this in a bad way at all. You should see my vitamin pack when I travel. Like, it's literally, it has the days of the week. I do not mess about with it.
Everybody needs that support system. Support systems, very
you need
important.
Your support
very
system.
Very important. Mental health.
Oh, support health. System is incredible. It's incredible. So when people say things like, oh, how do you do it all? I'm like, that is the problem. I do not do it all. That is the starting point. It's impossible. I'm incredibly good at working out where those shortcomings are and then trying to identify where I need that external assistance. And thank God being able to get it and getting the support from home and wherever else it is, because you cannot be everywhere at every single time. It's not possible. And I love having these discussions with people who have gone ahead. Yes. And they'll tell you, sometimes you just find that in life at different phases, some things might be sacrificed a bit more for others. It's a building act, and you just have to decide, you know, especially if you're in a partnership, in a marriage, just work out between yourselves who can take a bit more at this particular stage and who can't. And how do we try and make this work? But you need, the more support you have from different sources,
absolutely,
the better.
Absolutely.
Definitely.
My goodness, like the nuggets, the pearly nuggets, as I say, the gold, pearly nuggets of wisdom.
This is a catch-up session. This is this is why we've always gotten had that connection. No, I love chatting. I love talking about these things because I think I've learned. I have so much respect for women, for people who've been in this before. Because I say women, not because I'm saying I have no respect for men. I'm just saying that there's something beautiful about speaking to people who have similar experiences to you.
Yes,
so
yes,
you know,
yes.
If you speak to people who've gone through, well, you know, there's nothing like experience. If you're a mother speaking to somebody who's also gone through that, or whatever other challenges you can think about, it's very
teacher.
Helpful to.
The best teacher.
Yeah, we don't need to make all those mistakes. So I do not mess about with my tribe of female friends, the sisterhood,
and this is
just ensuring that you're learning.
And this is why I started this podcast, because I need almost like this platform to create more African voices, more women,
I love
men,
them.
Just sharing their experiences. So if someone listens and they can avoid going down a certain road, why not?
Yes.
We all need to be learning.
Why not?
And sharing from
we
each other.
We absolutely need to learn. Absolutely, there's so much to be learned. I keep saying I that's what I used to joke and say, that you were like a Rolodex. I'll say, oh, Pebby, what I need this person.
That's okay.
Hook me
want.
Up. And you'd be like, yeah, give me a second.
No, I love that.
Like, this girl.
That is one
good.
Thing I can see.
It's a skill. It's honestly, it's such a blessing, and I'm very, very, very grateful to have that.
Oh, I'm same here, honestly. Same here. I realize this as I get older. It's about your network. It's about relationship building,
your
like
network.
You said. It's about having a mentor.
Absolutely.
So many nuggets that you dropped. It's about self-governance, and it's about the way you treat others as well. The way you look at the world, you know, sometimes it's the way the world will see you, you know. So we need to also have different perspectives and things like that. Like, Pearl, honestly, you know, we can talk for hours and hours.
We can talk forever on this. But I was just going to say one thing, just to encourage you, what you're doing. I think it's incredibly, I'm so pleased that you're doing this from this perspective, because it's about, you know, basically projecting those voices that essentially are fit for purpose for this environment. We've got to ensure. So with all that's happening in the world today, I love that we have something like this. And I'm also being very careful and saying, guys, as much as all these things are happening across the world, please look inwards as what is happening in our own environment and speak up about those as well. You know, because it's sometimes it's easier to join some of these movements that are outside of the country because it's already gone far ahead and it's glossier. But somebody started those. So what about you starting yours? And so you mentioned something about having my in a sense travel blog, which is what I try to do with my social media engagement. And I was very intentional about it. For me, it was with the travel. What I was trying to also showcase was to ensure that as I'm learning, I'm also passing on some of that
Perfect.
information because my mind was blown in going to some of these countries I had never been to and had literally just fleeting knowledge of. So there's nothing like going into a country and being with its people to break
Oh yeah,
stereotypes.
breaking barriers,
It literally destroys stereotypes. So you go in with one idea. Having spent a few days and time with people and built that relationship, it will break it down. So I'm just hoping to be able to convey to people as well that as I'm learning, look, this is what is happening in this country. Forget what you might have heard, but here you go. Here's another side. You know, as Chimamanda says, the dangers of a single story.
Exactly. The dangers of a single story.
You have to try and present the different sides, and everybody make up their own minds, but you know, do some more digging up.
Exactly. Oh, and that's, I think, a beautiful place to leave things. It's just been really awesome. Really, really awesome. Like, I can just see, like, as we were speaking,
Thank
I
you
was
so much.
imagining us sat on the podium, and you're the, because it's this is the sort of thing people go out to hear. It is. So, I know, I have no doubt that people will enjoy this talk very much. There's so much to learn from it, so much to glean from it. It's been awesome having you on my show, developing your A game with Bev, talking about
I've loved
leadership,
being here.
entrepreneurship, governance, sustainability, and everything in between. Girl, you've been great.
A real mouthful.
Thank
Thank
you
you
so
so much
much.
for having me. And
And
yes,
I'll
like you
have you
said,
back on
we can
to
do
talk
this
about other things
anytime.
like the meditation and the fitness. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Thank
Thank you so much.
you. Till next time, till the next episode. Take care now. Bye.
You too, absolutely. Bye.